Live from Oasis Bar and Grill, it's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, here we go on a Tuesday. Oasis Bar and Grill, Decatur, south of Trop. Live Cofield and Company. Cool day, Taco Tuesday. Plus, we got NBA tipping off. We got massive night in hockey on the way. Alex White is here. She's got the VGK jersey on. Johnny's working the bar tonight. We'll tell you more about John and the goings-on here at Oasis. Today is Taco Tuesday, so you got tacos anywhere from $1.50 up to $3. Also, dinner special tonight is also of the Mexican fare, as they've got chicken fajitas on special. Great dinner specials here every night at Oasis Bar and Grill. Alex, you were saying you and the South Point folks with the book and the SoFo Studios were here, what, a couple years ago for holiday party?
Just this past year, actually. Oh, yeah. Came here for a Christmas party, and that was my first time, maybe second time coming here, but I know that this is like the sports media hangout spot, so it feels
like we don't fib when we say we hang out here. A lot of the show hangs out here on a regular basis. I was actually here last night after Monday Night Football and the party over at Ellis Island, where we're stationed on Mondays. I usually will stop in here to see friends. So it was a double dip last night. We'll get into the games a little bit. I was disappointed in what happened in the Chargers game. Obviously, the Bucks were disappointed with what happened at the end of their game. Not only did they lose, but they lose a good player. But this is a really good spot for sports. And then I think some of the best bar food, if not the best bar food in all of Las Vegas, and they do it up every day. They show that extra care. They've got a big menu, and then they're always coming up with cool specials. So today is their Taco Tuesday, and their tacos. Angel had some earlier, said the pollo was awesome. They've got pollo, asada, carnitas, and ground beef as well.
And so, I love it. It's a good vibe. When I walked in, it was loud. People were cheering.
Yes.
And you aren't kidding. We have some good games coming up tonight. So.
Yes. I want to get into the slate of hockey. But, you know, for me, every year, the NBA, maybe the hockey season doesn't crawl up on me like too suddenly because we got a team here. But the NBA, sometimes I'm like, oh, wait, well, okay. Because we're right in the middle of the nitty-gritty with NFL and with college football. And it's been a long preseason for the NBA. It's, even though the offseason isn't long, there is a lot of player movement and there is change and there's some interesting stories to get into out there. I think one of the best ones is the Celtics got the job done. That's what their fans expect. That's what their media has grown accustomed to, covering championship level basketball. But I think because of the Olympics and Team USA, some of the Celtics, their best players, are max motivated because they feel like they potentially got screwed by being on the team or not being on the team. Like, you don't see this often where the defending champ comes back and they're like, we're kind of irked. We're kind of annoyed.
That's a great point. Or being on the team and not getting much playing time. So that falls into it too. And you can't count them out. I mean, a lot of people do have them at the top of their power ratings going into this year to repeat. So
do you?
I do.
You do?
Yeah.
How come?
Just the talent that this team does have and the depth. And we saw it all come together last year. So there's a couple good ones, though. A couple good in the Western Conference that I think will make a run.
I think the Nuggets are the favorite. Now, here's the thing with the NBA. And we can get into the Nuggets in a second. With the NBA, we are starting here in the last week of October. The season is culminating in June. It is, I think, more so than any other league, and I guess I don't know why. I think hockey people would bristle at this, but the NBA, from a physicality standpoint, just the wear and tear of running all the time seems to break guys down. And come playoff time, you're like, who is going to make it? It's a war of attrition from an injury standpoint. Like, who's going to make it through the playoffs? They do their load management, and a lot of times it still does not work. So early in the season, whoever looks good, it's like, you take it with a grain of salt. There's also a lot of players who aren't playing to start the season. I just saw the report, or heard it, earlier today with the Sixers. And, like, already off-injured Joel Embiid. He's not playing. Off-injured Paul George. He's not playing. We'll get into the Sixers in a second as well. But back to the Nuggets.
Yes.
Give me reasons that the Nuggets wouldn't be the favorite.
Nuggets are right there. I would say that they are number two. And you could definitely argue they have the best player in the league right now. So Yeah, that's tough. They're very close.
So my worries with the Nuggets are, and I still think they're the favorite because I think it'll work out. I think Michael Malone, that always gets me that he's very insistent you got to call him by his full name. Michael is one of the better coaches in the league. He does have to, throughout the season, get his team ready for the playoffs and get his mind ready for the playoffs with his bench. Because he has been unwilling.
Yes.
The organization's like, we're not spending tons of money on the old guys who won the title a couple of years ago. Here are the new guys. You got to use them. And I still don't think he was committed to using them during the season. And come playoff time, some of those guys just were not ready. And my other thing with the Nuggets is Jamal Murray going to be an adult? Is he going to be an adult off the floor? Is he going to be an adult in terms of caring for his body? And then is he going to act like a mature individual, a veteran who's won a title, and not go ham in a key moment in the playoffs like he did last year when he's throwing stuff on the floor? Right. And he's still got a light touch on that. But he's very much a wild card.
Well, that was the first time we really saw that from him, wasn't it? In the game. Yeah.
But we know a lot of people who work in the media in Denver, and Jamal has long been a horse's ass off the court. Very unpredictable, uneven. And listen, I suppose if you're, you know, the backup four and you play 16 minutes a night, maybe your job is to be the rabble-rouser, then that's okay. But when you're the second best player or whatever, if you want to argue with Gordon, in that leadership position of point guard,
yeah,
you got to be kind of even-keeled. And maybe he learned a lesson. I have a feeling he probably didn't. So that's my one pause with the Nuggets. I think I would bet them. Where are they sitting right now on the odds board?
I don't.
I've got it in front of me here. They are, I mean, they're fifth choice. So when odds came out right after the finals, they were the second choice. Let me get it right. They were 7-1. There were a bunch of teams 8, 9, 7-1. The Nuggets are now sitting at 10-1. The rest of the odds board, by the way, Celtics 3-1. OKC, we'll see if they're ready to take the next step. They're 6-1. Knicks, we can talk about the roster there, the big addition there. They're plus 750. Sixers, 9-1. Mavs, finalists, 10-1. Nuggets, 10-1. Wolves, 11-1. Bucks, 14.
So let's talk about the Nuggets going to their bench again. Do you think that they are going to make that change and start playing their players more?
I don't know, right? How do we, I mean, until we see it, we don't know.
Yeah. Because their starters were playing a ridiculous amount, right? And then get to the postseason, and they were kind of just worn down.
I thought they looked worn down.
Yeah. Interesting.
Beyond that, all right, Knicks, are you buying in? Last year was a massive year, a big step forward. Obviously, they've got a top seven player in the league. Now they added Cat, Karl Anthony Towns. I'm not going to say he's not a winning player, but he is. He's a little bit frustrating as a big.
I like the Knicks. I liked them last year a lot. If you know me too, you know that I am very defensive oriented. So if I find a team that is really good defensively, I usually back them. And they were that team last year. Now they had a depth problem and had injuries. So got to see who can last again.
So that's another one. We got to, you know, when you're making predictions in October, like how much confidence do you have that were those fluke injuries, or is this an organizational issue, or is it an individual issue? Hard to call, right?
It is.
But to go to one of the other elite teams in the East, and I mentioned the Sixers for a second, I get the overall idea of bringing in more talent with Paul George, but what are the chances that both he and Embiid are 90% come the playoffs? So I'm fascinated to see should they cap both guys at like 50 games? And does that actually help? Does that prevent anything?
I don't know, because then sometimes they're a little rusty and then they can still get injured because they're not playing enough and they're not in good enough shape. So the Sixers, they scare me. I mean, we've just seen it year after year.
Scare good or scare bad?
Scare bad.
Yeah.
Year after year with injuries and not making it all the way through the season. So that one I probably wouldn't touch. Probably wouldn't be betting on them right now.
Oasis Bar and Grill here on a Tuesday. You show up, one, you got happy hour, you got the Taco Tuesday specials, you got the dinner special of the chicken fajitas. Beyond that, we've got great prizes. You want to go see UNLV Boise football? We've got those tickets. The other thing we've got tickets here, but you got to be got to show up in person. You don't have to be present when we do the giveaways, which will be towards the middle and the end of the show. But stop in, get some food, see the show, listen to the show. But you can win those football tickets. We've got Kevin Hart tickets. We've also got concert tickets to go see Cypress Hill. That's coming up this Saturday. So a lot of good giveaways. Come on in. It's on Decatur, Oasis Bar and Grill, south of Tropicana. Alex White, Steve Cofield, Angel with the setup here as we'll come back. I want to get into the NFL in terms of getting near the midway point and the sort of respect I have for some coaches and others, man. It is a freaking mess with the way they're behaving.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Oasis Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
Hey, Coach, have you ever had a soft team? When you criticize your team publicly like that, it doesn't always go over well. Not every coach has their own style, and you know, maybe sometimes that can be effective and all. But I don't know. You know, last year the Patriots led the league in rushing defense, yards per carry, number one in the league. This year they're 26th or whatever it is. It's the same players. I don't think that those players on defense are soft, but they haven't stopped the run very well this year.
There's so much behind that comment. First of all, the two guys doing the interview back and forth, Jim Gray and Bill Belichick, are both soft. And we're finding out that Belichick is softer than we ever thought. We already know Jim Gray's soft. He's a very delicate flower. He's gets insulted very easily. As a station, we were involved. Another station had this happen as well. I have rarely seen guests at Super Bowl's Radio Row get kickoff shows, and it happened to Jim Gray twice.
Wow.
Because he was so annoying, and he's just a weird guy to talk to, and he's an egomaniac. So at the time, our Mitch Moss got into it with him, and it was over nothing. Jim Gray is a weirdo. And then a Boston station, which that the show, I think it's Toucher and Rich, have like no patience. They broke that show up, I think. But yeah, Jim Gray was being a weirdo, and the one guy's like, all right, Jim, goodbye. Get out of here.
Wow.
Yeah. Good radio.
Yeah.
But it's also like, we don't care that much. If you're going to be a weirdo, get out. And what's happening now, I think, with Belichick, with all this media exposure and these jobs he has, we're finding out more and more about him. And that conversation, which was with Jim Gray and then Tom Brady, I think it's the Let's Go podcast on Sirius XM, that one was part of a series of appearances where people threw questions at Belichick. Now, there's a good likelihood that Belichick said, hey, I want to talk about this, so make sure you ask me. But the scenario was, Gerard Mayo comes out after the game in London where the Jaguars did physically mash the Patriots. The Jags have done crap this year, and they ran for 171. And Gerard Mayo, like a lot of coaches, and you hear coaches say this often, that their team is not playing hard enough. They're being soft. They're getting out physical. So Gerard Mayo said, I feel like we just went out there and played soft. We're playing soft at the moment. Now, in saying that, do I think we have the guys in there that, you know, can turn the ship around? 100%. But that comes through hard work and getting better each and every day. He's not really saying anything that insulting. He's not singling anyone out.
Right.
It is coach speak that we're being weak. We're being soft. And for some reason, Belichick took that personally. Like, bro, you're not with the organization anymore. And yeah, he's got a lot of your players. I mean, would you hear that and go, he's calling me soft? Like, Bill, you're gone.
No, and he didn't. I don't think he had to jump in and defend them.
Right.
Like, they're fine, and they know how they performed and how they looked in that game against the Jags. And didn't Belichick used to publicly call his team out like that when he wasn't happy?
Belichick comes from a coaching tree of guys who absolutely would skewer their players in the media. Now, Belichick didn't do it as much as Bill Parcells. But Parcells would do it. So I don't know. Maybe I don't want to insult the guy. I wouldn't really have to take personal shots at him. Maybe he's become kinder, gentler, softer now that he's dating a 24-year-old and 71 years old. That's not a shot, right? Relationships can change your perspective. But, yeah, when I saw that, I'm like, are you really stirring the pot and going after a former player because you feel like he insulted the roster you left behind? Come on. I don't know. There's a lot of stuff I see with him where I'm like, I don't know that he can be a good head coach again. I definitely don't believe that he should be a personnel guy running an organization.
Right. I know. The more we see and hear, it is like he's more removed than just a year, right? And to have these comments. But he's not wrong about his team being number one against the run last year, though.
They were better last year. But do we have to say Bill Belichick is a better coach than Gerard Mayo? And Bill Belichick, as a defensive coach,
no, the
last couple of years is better. Like, that's a given.
Right.
Okay. The next guy in is probably not going to be at your level. Like, does he need the ego stroke that much? Even to the point where it's like, hey, I think you kind of insulted me. Like, relax. And that would be another one of my worries when, if you're going to have him run the organization, like, is he that freaking sensitive?
I mean, that definitely was an ego stroke. So I don't know.
I started on this yesterday. And it's not, I don't think it's anything new, although I could be bombastic and come on the show and say, I'm the only one who's saying this. You know, the more I watch what Andy Reid is doing with the Chiefs and his GM, Brett Veach, and the kind of the remake of who they are, and that Reid is willing to adjust to not having Tyreek Hill, in this case, not having Pacheco, not having a lot of the receivers that they brought in to replace Tyreek Hill, becoming a more defensive team. As an all-time coach, I think he's better than Belichick, because Belichick kind of did it with another quarterback once, but they didn't make the playoffs with Castle, but I think they posted an 11-5 record the year that Brady went down with a torn ACL. But Andy Reid has done it in both leagues, and he did it with quarterbacks who were, I'm not going to say they're that dissimilar. Pat Mahomes is way better than Donovan McNabb. But he did do it with the Eagles and had him in NFC Championship games and a Super Bowl. And we'll see if Belichick in Act 2, he's going to be a lot older when he starts his Act 2, can match what Andy Reid is doing. And I think Reid, unlike Belichick, Reid doesn't need to be stroked.
Right.
I don't think he pays attention that much to it. I think he deals with the media just fine. Believe me, he's bristly too. But he's bristly in a way where you're like, hey, that guy's a jerk. You don't say. Belichick's a jerk. He's not. The evolution of Andy Reid against what Belichick put up as, the top mark with all the Super Bowls is pretty fascinating. It's going to be a really good follow here. However long he coaches, another 5 or 6 years maybe?
It's just so insane, too, watching the Chiefs being the last team undefeated right now this year, and they're not flashy at all, right? And we're going to talk about who the best teams are in the NFL, and the Lions are going to jump out to you because they are flashing. They put up a bunch of points, and the Ravens and the performance we saw yesterday, but it's not the Chiefs right now, and yet they're undefeated. They find ways to win. No one's going to be really talking about them, and then they're going to be right there in the postseason and offensively clicking once again. So, yeah, you got to give him a lot of props.
Who's the best team?
I still have – I do have them number one.
You have the Chiefs number one power rated.
I do, yeah.
Really? Who's close?
The Lions. Okay. It's Chiefs, Lions, and Ravens right now for me.
What about the Lions? In terms of what has you, rated that high, what do you like about the Lions?
Man, what not to like about the Lions? I love their identity. I love Jared Goff is playing out of his mind. And
Is he 58 of 68 the last three games? They get 7 touchdowns, and he's 58 of 68.
It's something crazy.
He had a perfect game, and I think the big galoot, Dan Campbell, the lummox, whatever name you want to give a big guy, who seems like he's kind of dumb, but he's not. Like, I think he expects so much from Jared Goff that the game that Goff went 18 of 18, he didn't even notice. Or that maybe that's part of being a lummox, that you're like, I'm not paying attention. But Goff has been unreal.
No, that postseason was great, right? They asked him about it, and he goes, he did? I just gave somebody else the game ball.
Oops.
Yeah.
He had a perfect game pretty much, Dan. Were you watching? Well, you remember, was it 2 years ago that he said he didn't know a certain play, a trick play had been sent in because he was watching the crowd do the wave?
Oh, my God. I don't remember
yes,
that.
Yes, he did. I was like, what? The play developed, and he's like, what the hell's going on? Like, the OC sent it in. Dan, he said it to you that he was sending it in. But he was watching the crowd was all fired up, so he was watching the crowd.
That is hilarious.
But that said, and that, you know, it's It's funny, we're talking about best teams in the NFL, and everyone's got a different list because it's still a very short sample.
Yeah.
But we can talk about best coaches in the NFL. Like, I think Reed is on top of the list, but is it enough to give the coach credit, or is it the coaching staff? Because I don't want to diss Dan Campbell, but his coaching staff is really good. I think he's got future head coaches on his staff.
Yeah, I mean, both of them, right?
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if you go to the Chiefs, they have a really good coaching staff as well. Whatever you think about their OC, because he's a failed, Matt Nagy's a failed head coach. Steve Spagnuolo actually is kind of a failed head coach as well, but people recognize him at whatever he is, about 68 years old, as one of the best DCs in the league. So that staff's loaded.
The graphic that they had up on the TV with the Chiefs versus the Niners and him just owning the Niners is very impressive, especially with that team. I mean, that team, that talent, of course, they've had the injury bug almost worse than anyone this year, but for them to struggle so much against this Chiefs defense, that does say a lot about him.
Do you have an NFL team with a coaching staff that you don't think gets enough credit?
Ooh. I want to say the Ravens and John Harbaugh, but I can't really say that because they can't get over the hump. They can't get past the AFC Championship and make it to the Super Bowl. So
I think he's great, though, and I think his staff is great. I think that's just a matchup problem, and it's pretty obvious with games against the Chiefs. If they can't get out to a lead and then play their run game, if they have to play from behind, they're in trouble.
Right. 'Cause
Lamar Jackson is good. He's not great. And he's not good in those situations. You can throw any passing numbers, ratings, whatever you want at me. We've seen it. That's the eye test. When they're behind, and they're behind against the Chiefs and this Chiefs defense, they have trouble.
Yep.
Can I throw this one out there? And he does not get, I think, nearly enough credit for being a great coach. Is Mike Tomlin. They never finished less than 500. Now, have they won Super Bowls or gone to them recently? No. Now, part of it most recently is an organizational failure to land the next quarterback.
Right.
But I really admire what he did over the weekend, because I think most people are like, well, you know, Justin Fields is great, but they're winning, so it must be due to Justin Fields' play. And his staff and he were like, wow, this is not the best level we can play at. And then he kind of joked about it afterwards. He's like, it was a me decision. And he's like, that's also why I'm well compensated.
Right.
I'm like, okay, Mike.
Exactly. I don't know why everybody doubted it so much. What was the big deal about seeing what Russell Wilson brought to the offense?
I mean, you have narratives. Let's take a break here. You have narratives that get set. Like, the downhill slide of Russell Wilson, I think, has been vastly overrated. Now, again, there's only one game.
Right.
But he took a big hit last year from a rep standpoint when Sean Payton basically was like, okay, this ain't my guy. I'm going to pull the plug. And then he actively starts to smear him. I thought this was possible. Again, it's one freaking game, and they may wind up going back to Justin Fields. But bottom line is, he doesn't have a franchise quarterback. He has a reclamation project in Justin Fields. He has a guy in Russell Wilson that the entire league left for dead, and he was able to scoop up for pennies on the dollar, and they're winning.
Yep.
And in some of these games, they're not even challenged. The Jets, I mean, honestly, I don't know why I have to be honest. It's a sports talk show. The Jets broke. The Jets broke at the end of the game. That's when you know you have a good coach and you have a great football team. When the opposition is like, we've had enough, we're going to tap out early in the fourth quarter and just, you know, be allowed to get blown off the field.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Oasis Bar and Grill on ESPN Las Vegas.
So we were just reacting to nonsense from Bill Belichick on McAfee and getting all upset, butthurt, because Jerod Mayo called his former team soft. He's head coach. He can call him whatever he wants. You know, the more I watch what the Chiefs are doing in this new era of not being loaded on offense, no Tyreek Hill, injuries all over the place, and they're winning via defense and kind of game management football, and then Mahomes comes up with a gigantic play, like a 33-yard run, because people are afraid to tackle him now on the sideline. I have the utmost respect for Andy Reid. And they're in the middle of a dynasty here, and someone's got to step up in either in the AFC or on the other side. Maybe it's the Lions. And take them out. And we were looking at best coaching staffs around the National Football League. A little birdie dropped in during the break. Our resident Bears fan. I don't think there's enough equity yet with the Bears and Eberflus this year. But what they've done to this point, solid job.
You're absolutely right. It's a solid job. These boys had a listen, Matt Eberflus had a rough, and his staff had a rough start to this season. Obviously, the offense had to figure out their groove and get things together. But as things stand right now with the Bears coming off a bye, they are 4-2. They are not leading the division, but the NFC North is not even possibly. It is the best division in football this year in 2024. Along with all that, the Bears' defense, which Matt Eberflus is a defensive coordinator who came over from Indianapolis, right now the Bears have only allowed four passing touchdowns this season. They're the seventh in passing yards allowed. That's better than in both stats than the Chiefs, who are seen as the best defense this year in the NFL.
I give credit to Eberflus and that staff for kind of weathering the storm with Caleb Williams as he was getting up to speed. Right, it could be rough for rookies early on. So now we have pointed out the back end of their schedule is murderous because they have not played teams in the division yet. And in the last nine games, I think they play six matchups against the Vikes, the Lions, the Packers, and all of those teams. I still have some doubts about the Vikings, but all of those teams are really on an upward trend.
Well, and they're all really well coached. I mean, people don't talk about Kevin O'Connell and his coaching staff enough, but, I mean, I know they had Kirk Cousins for a long time, but then we saw him go down and them still win games, and now they're winning games here with Sam Darnold. So they've done a great job. And then LaFleur with the Packers.
And along the same lines, younger guys who are starting to emerge as top 10 coaches, coaching staffs in the league, both the Texans with D'Amico Ryans and the Colts with UNLV Shane Steichen. Because they've had an up-and-down deal here with quarterback play, and they're trying to develop a quarterback and win games,
yes,
which is not easy. So Alex is in today, Alex White. It's Cofield, Oasis Bar and Grill here on this Tuesday. We've got a cool concert and show tickets to give away. You got to stop in, sign up, and you're good to go. Grab some dinner. It's Taco Tuesday. Tacos from $1.50 up to $3 if you want the asada, $3. Ground beef, $1.50. Pollo and carnitas are in the mix. Alex is more than holding her own in what I think is one of the best contests in the country. And I don't mean that. This is not to come across insulting, like, hey, the lady's doing a good job. You've got a proven track record of winning and winning contest. But I don't want to jinx you. I don't want you to jinx yourself. I believe that you believe going into this contest you were going to be fine against this group. I looked at the group and I was like, eh, there's some good guys in there. There's some good competition, but you've got a proven track record. It has not been easy, though, right? It's seven picks against the spread. You can pick college and pro.
Can pick college and pro.
And you go mostly college.
I haven't picked one pro yet in this contest, yeah. I have done some totals, though. I think there is a limit on totals, three or four, but I should stop overthinking so much because, honestly,
where have you blown it? You didn't, by the way. We were joking during the break about Wisconsin and Rutgers.
I had Rutgers on that.
Why?
I did. I wasn't buying.
Always,
the
I stink at this, but that's a couple of schools that I follow. Obviously, I follow UNLV. I don't know that I'm comfortable giving you betting advice on UNLV, but on Rutgers especially, I thought that line was horrific. A lot of it is the history of the rivalry.
Mm-hmm.
They just haven't physically been up to snuff, and they got mashed again in the trenches. And then they lost another team where you're like, hey, man, you're in the game here, and then you just get snapped in half and mentally right out the window.
Honestly, and Wisconsin, I mean, they've been playing good football. I thought it was more just against Purdue, right? And then they had Rutgers next, and I've watched a few of the Rutgers game, and they have been tough in the trenches.
Problem is they're becoming one-dimensional because quarterback confidence, both the player and the staff, is on the downslide, and that's been their problem the last few years. If you can't run a balanced offense, at least keep the opposition of the Big Ten somewhat honest on defense.
Right.
They're going to crush you.
Right.
And we're actually seeing it with some of the Pac-12 schools. If you can't, it's kind of the other way. If you can't run the ball to set up the pass game, an unbalanced offense is not going to work. And it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Now I'm giving you a lecture here. You are in what, sixth place?
I'm in sixth
place. I couldn't do that.
Right. We'll see. I just got to keep not having losing weeks, and I need a couple big ones here because I've been having a lot of 4-3. I had a 5-2 in there this past week, though. I was 3-3-1. So just trying to stay on the positive here.
Look down these standings. Wow, Chris Felik is a big deal. It's the Bear from ESPN. He is in a slide. Is he like 21 and 27? What the hell's going on here? Experts in big trouble. Nationally known experts.
Soon, too, you start getting kicked out of this if you're at the bottom.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
When does that start?
It's got to be coming up soon.
Uh-oh. There's some pressure. There's some pressure at the bottom. But, yeah, follow that, especially the easiest way is up at Matt Humans, who used to be on ESPN Las Vegas, works with VSiN now. He's always got the standings and all the picks. And maybe a little later in the show we'll get some leans and likes from you in the middle of the week. Coming back, we got a good UNLV football conversation. I got a chance to catch up with Haj Malik Williams, who has been just – awesome. Considering the circumstances he was in, the team lost Matt Sluka. There was all that controversy going on around the country, and UNLV has done nothing but kind of sizzle along the way here. They did drop the game to Syracuse, but Haj Malik Williams has been really good.
It's Cofield and Company on ESPN Las Vegas.
All right, big game coming up on Friday night at Allegiant. UNLV 6-1, Boise, winner of the Mountain West Conference Championship a year ago, out to a great start, only lost to Oregon on the road. And they've got the lead guy for the Heisman Trophy in Aston Jeanty. So short time frame, Boise off a bye, UNLV back late on Saturday, now a short week. I had a chance yesterday to talk to the quarterback, Haj Malik Williams, and we went back and reviewed the Oregon State game. And the first thing I was interested in is the plane ride back from Oregon State. Are you resting? Or, what's your deal? You're studying? You're talking about the next game? What was happening?
I was definitely knocked out. I know a couple guys were celebrating as they should. It was a big game, but I was definitely asleep.
And then how soon? Like, what time do you get up on Sunday and like get right back at it?
When I got home, I started watching Boise, so I didn't go to sleep till maybe 5 a.m. But that's how big this game is, and that's how quick the turnaround is. So I feel like that's what it demanded of me. And Coach did great with the schedule for us to come in later in the evening. So that way we can, catch up on rest and recovery. But I got on Boise immediately.
When you get Boise film, what do they give you? Stuff from this year, or do they give you the matchup last year? What do you watch mostly?
You get access to all types of football. So whatever you need to be able to do your job. But, yeah, so – this year, last year, matchup last year, all types of things. So to make sure you understand your opponent.
So I want to go back and get some lessons out of the game against Oregon State. First of all, I got to hear your take. I don't know where you were standing at the end of the game. I mean, you're a quarterback and you're watching McCoy try to operate down the stretch there. Did you have any idea what the heck was happening on the final play with 3 seconds left? And
yeah, I think it was a little bit of home cooking, because the rule is if you have a penalty, which is a false start, you're supposed to have a 10-second runoff. But the refs actually ended up pulling, saying there was no penalty because I guess the chains or the ball wasn't set, which is you couldn't set the ball if he didn't snap it. Like, if he snapped it, that means the ball was set. So it was a false start that they said was no longer a penalty, so it was an untimed down, or the down started on the clock. So when the referee blew the whistle to start the clock, that's when they snapped the ball as they should, and that was the last play of the game.
Haj Malik Williams is with us. Coach Edelman mentioned multiple times it was important to close out a close game. You guys couldn't get it done against Cuse. You get it done here. But for you, how cool was that the end of the game where the defense does come up big to make up for you throwing the INT late?
Correct. And I was very disappointed in myself in that play, but at the end of the day, that's why we have a team. And those guys came out and bailed me out, and we executed. And that's all you can ask for as a quarterback. You know what I mean? When you got a defense that had your back like that, it helps make your job easier.
There's a lot of chatter, and it looks like productive chatter. Sometimes it's motivational chatter on the sideline with you and Coach Marion and the receivers. What was Marion's tone throughout the game? Because I saw a couple times I think he had a ball in the middle of the field where Kane dropped it, but he also said to you, you got to put it in a position where maybe he can go to the house.
Yeah. That's what we demand in our room as quarterbacks. We look and strive for excellence. So anything where the ball is 12 inches behind or 12 inches high or low, we want to be on the money. You know what I mean? Everything is big, and that's how we look at every throw. So if it's not perfect, we always have something to say, even on touchdowns, on successful plays. Hey, that was a B, that was a C. He bailed you out. It should have been an A. That's what we're striving for. So
we talked a few weeks ago about leadership and communication. And for you, do you have different approaches to every receiver in game?
By now, they know me, and they know what the game demands. At the end of the day, we have to execute. So I'm not really looking to coddle guys right now. That was more so when you get to know him throughout the spring and the summer when you first get here. Hey, I'm Hodge. How you doing? Now it's, hey, man, get it together. I need you. I'm counting on you. You know, the team is counting on you right now to make this play. So that's the energy we have because that's the relationship that we've built over time. So, yeah.
This is a little deep divey. Caleb Herring, who's on our broadcast, former quarterback here, and I were talking about the crown on the field.
Mm-hmm.
Does that have an effect? Because you had some deep balls maybe across the field where they were a little overthrown. Did you feel like an adjustment process throwing to the corners of the end zone as well?
No. It doesn't. It is a slight difference, but it's not like, oh, my whole football, I have to stay more on top or hold my release longer. It's nothing like that. At the end of the day, if it was a miss, it was a miss. You know, it's never will you hear me say the field was the reason I missed the throw.
Did you hear the crowd at Oregon State?
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. You know, they came out and they, you know, did their best to try to distract us. And Coach did a great job of preparing us. You know, we had noises all practice. You know, the chainsaw thing, we knew that was a deal. And at the end of the day, I feel like our communication was great other than one mishap on me, not speaking up loud enough in the low red in the first quarter. But other than that, we were flawless as far as communication.
And the reason I mentioned it, even at Allegiant, last year for the game, championship game, you weren't here, but they probably brought 7,000-8,000 people. Like, mm-hmm. They were loud. Syracuse was loud.
Yeah.
Do you hear it at home, or can you get into kind of a tunnel at Allegiant?
Yeah. I mean, you hear what you want to hear. At the end of the day, I'm trying to communicate to my guys on the field so we can execute at a high level. So I'm the one trying to hype up the crowd when the defense is up. Excuse me, but when we're up, you know, I'm locked in. You know, it don't matter if it's first, second, or third down. I have a job to do, and that's what my focus is.
So let's talk about the Boise defense on film. What have you seen? First of all, up front, their defensive line. I had watched a lot of the, I think it was the Washington State game.
Yeah.
They were moving the ball, and all of a sudden, Boise's like, we're locking down. That D line's good.
Yeah, that front, the whole front seven. You know, they do a great job of having gap integrity and flying to the ball and make sure they win their one on ones. They do a great job of that. Their back level is decent. You know, they do a great job of communication and passing guys off. They, you know, they're a veteran group, like I was saying earlier. So they've seen a lot of football, so they don't make many mistakes. But if they do, you know, we've got to capitalize on it.
You said something really interesting in the press conference. I don't know that I've ever heard a quarterback say, you know what, I actually do sort of work with the kicker, yeah, at least before the season, on his mentality. Where does that come from?
I just like to give what I didn't have to young guys, especially in a position like this. A lot of times on levels like this, freshmen don't really get to play. And I didn't have the opportunity to grow up and learn. You know, I didn't have the opportunity to red shirt and have a senior teach me the ropes, you know. So I had to roll with the punches. So now that I'm in position, I want to give him what I didn't have, you know, and motor him and say, hey, I understand that everybody else that's in your class are redshirting, so they get to, you know, kind of play around and not take it as serious. But, dude, you know, your position can come down to one play. And your preparation is all dictated on that, you know what I mean? You don't make the kick in that moment. You make it prior to, you know what I mean? So that's just the whole mentality that I want him to understand. Like, yes, I know you're just – today's his birthday, actually. So I know you just turned 19, but – it's bigger than you. You know what I mean? So as far as your preparation and your habits, you got to take that mentality into your whole aura and how you move day to day.
And there's a mental thing, I think, for the team. Mm-hmm. Like when a drive stalls out.
Yes.
And you feel like, you know, we let the team down. And then if the kicker misses.
Right.
So we just got nothing out
of
that.
Yeah. No, and that's the momentum. But special teams, like he was saying, special teams does a great job. Man, I think that's one of our secret weapons. We do a lot of great things on that side, that phase. And at the end of the day, it's an advantage, you know what I mean? You're getting points no matter if you – like for our offense, oh, do I really got to – you know, you want to score points, but can I get it to the 40? Can I get it to the 30? And is it three? Is it automatic? You know, things like that goes into consideration. Do we have to go for it? You know, I think all those things matter.
So going back on this game, he had four field goals. That means you guys were moving the ball.
Definitely.
Did you examine third downs and maybe where you came up short, what you guys can do better as an offense?
Every single time. You know, we hate ending the drive and the field goal, you know, but at the end of the day, we know it's points, but we're competitors. You know, we try to be the best offense in the country. And at the end of the day, you got to score points, touchdowns, you know what I mean? Every opportunity you get. So that was our whole mentality. We suck. We hate that we got three, but at the end of the day, you know, it's three, you know, from a grand scheme of things, but the standard that we hold ourselves to on a go-go, you know what I mean? We want to score seven every time.
Last one with Hodge Malik Williams, starting quarterback for UNLV. All right. We talked about the front seven. Now, what do they do on the back end in terms of maybe the eye candy the other way, yeah, in terms of disguising stuff?
No, they have great DBs. You know, they do a lot of communication. They a lot of moving. So at the end of the day, you got to kind of kind of pick your defender, who you're going to watch that kind of help you tell the other back half. You know, it's kind of tough to get a whole beat on them because they move around so much. But I think we're going to do – we got a great game plan for them and seeing a lot of opportunities there.
How big is it for Kane to start, you know, making more of those catches and you guys hooking up? I saw you talking to him about, I think it was the one of the corners on a touchdown attempt, and you're like, the corners are there.
Yeah, no, every ball that is thrown is big for every receiver to get it, you know. I think that's the most I've thrown to him in the game this year. And we put a lot of work in, so it was no bigger process than what we already put on ourselves. But at the end of the day, we got to execute. You know what I mean? Just having one catch and me having many targets to you, that's just unacceptable to us. That's our standard. You know what I mean? Yes, we won the game. Yes, we did that in the third. But at the end of the day, we want to be flawless. You know what I mean? We got goals and dreams that we want, and everybody can get them if we all execute. But if we're just putting up and settling for three, everybody can achieve their goals. You know what I mean? So.
Put your coaching hat on receivers. I hear Marion talking to Bradley and especially Kane about fighting.
Yes.
Like what can a receiver do, and maybe what does Ricky do that makes him more open, or he can make tough catches in that fight?
I don't know if you guys seen Ricky White on the drive when I ran it in for my first touchdown. Couple plays back, you see Ricky White pancake the corner. That's what he means. You know, that energy, and Ricky White takes that to special teams, which is why you see him block punts. But he, no matter what the job is, what's called, if it's a run or a pass, he's going all out. You know what I mean? He plays with that kill mentality. So that's what Coach means when he say fight. Like, dog, I have a family to feed. You know what I mean? I have to get this, and I have to really make this person that think he's going to guard me pay. You know what I mean? You think you're going to guard me? Okay, here's why you shouldn't. You know, and that's the energy that we have on the go-go, and we play with that tenacity with every play. So
it's interesting. You guys were humming along in the run game, and I saw Dale Alexander holding up the tablet to the receivers. He's like, not good enough.
Yes.
I'm like, wait, you guys are moving the ball, and
right,
he's
right.
Still like, hey.
We strive for excellence, you know, like I said. So I'm glad to have coaches that push us to see further than what we may see ourselves. And then the tablet is also a tool that we use as well, like on the sideline. Hey, this is not the effort that to our standard. Yes, you blocked him a little bit, or yes, you carried out your fake a little bit. He didn't make the tackle, but you got to sprint. You got to give more. You got to put him out of bounds, like stuff like that. That's what we're striving for. So that's why you see coaches constantly coaching us, even if a play is successful. You know, if it's not to our standard, you're getting coached hard.
All right, Hush. We appreciate it. We'll see you on Friday.
Perfect. Thank you.
There he is, Hush Malik Williams. Spoke to him yesterday at the Fertitta football complex. Massive game coming up. You know, for anyone out there who's from a college football market, this is about as close as you're going to get to one of those traditional college football, in this case, a Friday night with super high energy. I'm looking forward to it. I think it's going to be a big crowd, and there's something to play for here. And UNLV is a fun team to root for.
No, they're a lot of fun to root for, especially these last few years, right? And Boise State, I mean, you got to give them some credit. I'm very impressed. Especially with what Spencer Danielson has done jumping in this year.